We've been looking in the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter. We're going to finish out that first chapter. I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever had a week, let alone a day, where everything has gone exactly like I wanted. Everything just fell into place. Everything was on schedule. Everything was what I expected it to be. Life doesn't seem to work that way. We live in a world that is filled with chaos, and it seems like the more and more that I live, the more and more chaos exists. And I don't think I'm to blame for that fully. I probably add my share to it at times, but life is complicated. As I think about the life of Jesus, the example that He taught to His disciples and to us through Scripture, I want to share a message this morning that I've entitled, Finding Calm in the Midst of Chaos. Because I believe it's important and even critical to our spiritual life to be able to find calm no matter what's going on around us. And if anyone could do that, that was Jesus. I think, and we're not really going to touch a lot on that story, but I think of the story of Jesus sleeping in the boat when it's in the midst of a storm, and the disciples, who are seasoned fishermen, who are used to the waters, are just terrified. And somehow in the midst of that storm, He ends up calming the storm, but even before He calmed the storm, He lived with calm within Himself. And that's the kind of calm that I'm talking about this morning that I think that's critical for us to find, because I believe that when we find that calm, that our witness for Jesus every day will be much bolder, be much brighter. When we're able to have calm in the midst of whatever chaos this week throws at us, the people around us are going to say, "How do you do that?" And that's the opportunity that we have to share about the power of God working within us. And so this morning I want to begin by reading Mark chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 29 through the end of the chapter. And then we're going to go back and kind of pick apart that text. And as those that are familiar with my preaching, we're going to use the word calm. That's going to be our outline this morning. Four different things to find in the midst of chaos that will help us to live with a greater sense of calm. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. And so he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. And that evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but He would not let the demons speak because they knew who He was. And very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Now Simon and his companions went to look for Him, and when they found Him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also, for that is why I came." And so He traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And a man with leprosy came to Him and begged Him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And filled with compassion, Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. "I am willing," He said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. And Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." But instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. And yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Would you pray with me? Father, as we consider your word this morning, we consider the world that we live in, and sometimes the very chaotic nature of life. So, Father, it's my prayer as we share together this morning that your Spirit would speak through your word, would speak through me to help us, to each one of us, to understand a little more about finding calm in the midst of whatever chaos life throws at us this week. Father, may we look at the example of Jesus and not just look at it to learn from it, but look at it to practice it and to do the things that He has called each of us to do. Father, equip us to be your servants. Embolden in each of us to share what you put within us through the power of your Son, Jesus. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. As I read that section, I can't help but in my mind picture some very chaotic scenes. You have a family gathering where the mother-in-law is sick. We've all been there where a family member's not well, and it just weighs on each one of us. And in the midst of that, not only do you have this family member sick, but you have the entire community bringing all of their sick to your house. And not just the sick, but those who are demon-possessed, those who are not even living within their right mind. I mean, can you picture that showing up at your home, wanting to see a guest? I think most of us would kind of turn the lights out, close the doors, lock them, and say, yo, stay away from me. That's just chaotic. There's no sense. There's no order. And yet in the midst of this, Jesus goes about life teaching us some incredible lessons. And I think the first lesson that I see in this finding calm in the midst of chaos is the importance of finding compassion. So many times we see people that are hurting. We see people that are lost. We see people that are broken. We see people that don't act the way that we think they ought to. And it's easy from our human nature to pass judgment, to criticize, to avoid, to want to have nothing to do with them. And yet when Jesus would see people such as this, He was always moved with compassion. Mark chapter 1, verses 29 and 31, we looked at, He began with compassion for Simon's mother-in-law. He learns about her fever, about her not being well. And He's moved to do something about it. He says, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They told Jesus about her. And so He went. And He took her hand and He helped her up, and the fever left her. He could have said, well, that's not my problem. He could have said, let the doctors take care of it. Let those that are more qualified take care of it, although there was no one more qualified than Jesus. But the people weren't aware of that. On down into verses 40 and 41 that we looked at, the same thing happened with a man with leprosy. It says, a man with leprosy came to Him and begged Him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And filled with compassion, Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. I am willing, He said, be clean. If you understand the history of leprosy, particularly throughout the ancient world and in the days of Jesus and even through the days of the Old Testament, you can get a glimpse of the depth of this compassion by the fact that not only was Jesus willing to make him clean, but Jesus reached out and touched him. Leprosy was such a contagious disease that they were required to announce to anybody coming near them that they were unclean so that there would be no contact. They were the untouchables because of the desire not to spread the illness. And here Jesus is moved with compassion. And whenever you read through the Gospels, you read through Scripture, it seems like whenever Jesus would see the crowds, whenever Jesus would see the sick, whenever Jesus would see those who were unstable, those who were lonely, those who were confused, His reaction was always a reaction of compassion. The only times that you see Jesus, it seems the compassion level doesn't seem what we would expect from Him. It was always people that were filled with pride, people that were acting in arrogance, people that thought they had all of the answers. And as we go through life, we go through the chaos of life, as we interact with people that aren't what we expect them to be, that aren't what they probably ought to be, if we want to find calm in that situation, it's important that we find compassion. We step into their life to get a little bit of a better understanding of what they're going through. So many times we are so quick to judge a person and not having any idea what the hour before we met them was like. And as we begin to find calm in the midst of this chaos, when we find compassion for the people that may even be creating the chaos. But not only do we look for and find compassion in the midst of this chaos, to find calm in the chaos, we also must find authority within this chaos. Mark chapter 1, verses 33 through 34, it says, "And Jesus, that the whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but would not let them speak because they knew who He was." But Jesus dealt with chaos as the one who had complete authority. He could cast out demons, and not just cast them out, but He could command them to not speak. And they wouldn't. And so many times in the midst of chaos, whether it's chaos surrounding us that we're having to live through, whether it's chaos that within our own life that we may even be a cause of, part of our difficulty in finding calm in the midst of that is we think we're the authority. We think we're in charge. We think somehow we have the ability within ourselves to resolve everything. For Jesus to find calm and to present calm to others through the midst of this chaotic situation of all of the town coming to His door with the sick and demon-possessed, He had to call on the authority that He had as the Son of God. And so many times when we're looking for calm in the midst of authority, we must be filled with that compassion, but we must recognize that God is the one in charge of what's going on. God is the only one that can bring change to many situations. There are a lot of things that I would love to just be able to snap my fingers and make me different. To make me better. To make me more productive. And yes, there's work that God's called each of us to do. It's not something that He said, sit back and let me do it. But it's often a matter of authority. Am I willing to address things from God's authority and His perspective and say, God, You're in charge of this. God, we're going to step back and we're going to do things Your way. We're going to look at Scripture and understand what Your heart is in this matter. You see, we begin to find calm in the midst of chaos when we begin to surrender whatever authority we try to cling on to and surrender that to God. You see, I can't change people. I can share Scripture with them. I can love them. I can have compassion on them. I can be truthful. I can be honest. I can do all kinds of things. The Scripture teaches it's God that comes in and transforms the heart. When I began to find the authority of Jesus that I'm able to share with people, then He has the ability to change their heart because they're not looking to me for the answers. They're looking to the one that has all of the answers. And so as we find calm in chaos, we find compassion in the midst of chaos, we find authority in the midst of chaos, but we also find the lessons within the midst of chaos. Sometimes chaos surrounds us because there's things that we need to learn, and that's the only way that God's going to get our attention. When things are going great, when everything's like we want it to be, it's pretty easy to just kind of put life on cruise control and forget, I still need to be talking with God. I still need to be listening to God. I still need to be spending time in God's Word. This interesting thing happens in this text, I think, in Mark, in verses 38 and 39. And I think it's a lesson that the disciples needed to learn. Jesus goes off by himself. The disciples, no one can find him. They go out searching. They find Jesus. They say, well, everybody's looking for you. Come back to town. We're, you know, you've got an incredible audience here. And instead of going back to town, Jesus responds this way. Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also, for that is why I came. And he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogue and driving out demons. Sometimes in the midst of chaos, the lesson that we need to learn is God has different work for us to do than what we're doing at the moment. Sometimes God uses chaos to get our attention to say, it's time to move on. It's time to step it up. It's time to take a different approach. I'm picturing the disciples thinking, hey, everybody's willing to listen. Just come back to town. You'll be an important figure. Everybody's excited about what you're doing. And Jesus says, no, it's time to move on. There's more work to do. There's more work to do, not just here, but elsewhere. And as we look in the midst of chaos, as we look to find whatever calm that we can find in it, we must look for the lessons that God is trying to teach us. I believe that God doesn't waste a single thing. When Scripture says that God works together everything for our good, for those that love Him and are called according to His purposes, He doesn't cause the bad things to happen, but He doesn't waste them either. He doesn't cause the chaos in our life, but He doesn't waste it either. And so in the midst of those times where you're scratching your head, you're ready to pull out your hair if you haven't already, you begin to ask, what, God, am I supposed to learn? Because I believe when we sit down with God, no matter how calm or how chaotic the situation in life is, He begins to bring a calm to our life when we sit and look to Him for the lesson that we need to learn. And sometimes that lesson is hard. Sometimes it's teaching us perseverance. He's saying, just hang in there. Be faithful. And sometimes He's calling us to move on. He says, you've done the work you can here. It's time to talk to someone else. But never does He call us to quit, to give up. And the lessons that we learn in the midst of chaos is there's always work to do. There's always people that need to hear the good news. And that's what Jesus says His ministry on earth was about proclaiming the good news wherever He went. And so as we look to find calm in the midst of chaos, we find compassion, we find authority, we find the lessons, but we also must look for the moments. And sometimes I think this may be the most difficult part for many Americans. Because we've been trained and brought up to be busy, busy people. And Jesus was, to me, the master at finding the moments to spend it with His Father. And no matter how chaotic life gets, it's critical that we look for the moments that we can just sit down with God and breathe out and say, here am I. Jesus had that a couple times here in Mark chapter 1 that we're looking at, verse 35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. It's how he slipped away to where the disciples all came out looking for him. For him, that day, the moments was very early. It was while no one was watching. Everyone else was probably asleep. No one saw him leave the house, let alone leave the town. Some of the translations, I really like that word better, talks about he went to a lonely place, a solitary place. He was alone. As we look for calm in the midst of chaos, look for those moments that you can be alone with God. Also in verse 45, he talks about it as well. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news, and as a result, he could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. And even then, the people still came to him from everywhere. I don't believe there's anything you're going to do in this world to get rid of the chaos completely. We're not in charge. Jesus promised, and it's one of those promises we hate to cling on to because it doesn't sound nice. He says, but you will have trouble in this world. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And as we recognize that, as we hold on to that knowledge that Jesus knew up front that life would be chaotic, life would be filled with trouble, he also gave us a way to find calm in the midst of that. And I wonder, how often do we allow chaos to overtake us because we're not prepared to even look for moments to just spend with God? You see, I think that finding moments in the midst of chaos is probably the key to this whole thing. Because when I'm able to find moments within the chaos to spend with God in prayer, spend with God in His Word, He begins to fill me with a compassion for people. He begins to help me to see through His eyes rather than my own. He begins to help me to listen to their stories and why things are so messed up. You know, Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers, the principalities of this world, of the principalities of darkness. And when I begin to judge people based on what they're doing rather than being filled with compassion, I tend to start fighting against them rather than fighting that spiritual battle. And so finding these moments alone with God equips me to have a greater compassion for people. Finding these moments alone with God equips me to surrender more fully to His authority. As I spend time in prayer and God's Word, I recognize there is nothing greater than His authority. There is nothing more perfect than allowing Him to be in charge rather than to try to take that on myself. When I spend these moments with God in prayer and His Word, I begin to pay more attention to the lessons that He wants me to learn. And as I put all of that together, through the moments with God, I find that I have calm in the midst of chaos. Oh, the chaos doesn't leave. Even when those moments are over, the chaos often doesn't improve, but my view of it is different. I'm able to see it more through the eyes of Jesus. I'm able to see how God would have me to share His love. It's my prayer as we consider whatever this week brings to us, whatever form of chaos that enters your life, and whether it's a week-long battle of chaos or whether it's just a 10-minute interaction with an individual that is very chaotic. It's my prayer that God's Word, His Spirit, would remind you to find calm, to find compassion, to find God's authority, to find the lesson that He wants you to learn. And even in whatever that is, to find the moments to spend with God. This morning, as we consider what He would have us to do, I want you to spend just a moment thinking about this last week. That's the chaos you know. This coming week may have similar chaos, it may have completely different chaos, but we don't know what that is. And to worry and fret about that is kind of unproductive. But I believe we can learn lessons about the chaos we had last week that will prepare us for the chaos we'll face this week. So as you think about whatever it was, no matter how long it lasted, how did you respond? How did it affect you? How did it make you feel? I know in my life, if I don't actively seek calm in the midst of it, it makes me very uneasy. It makes me respond to people in very unchristlike ways. It fills me with anxiety. It troubles me. But if I put in my heart and my mind to seek calm in the moments with Jesus, it changes the way I view the chaos. Oh, not because the circumstances change so much, but because it changes the way I view the people that are involved in the chaos. You see, the stuff that happens is just stuff. It's the people that God cares about. Had an incident a few weeks ago now, driving down the road, and a guy decided he was going to turn left, only he was in the right-hand lane, and it was a four-lane road, and I was in the left lane. And just pulled into the side of my truck. Wasn't a lot of damage. He took the glass out of his mirror and put a nice scrape down the side of my truck, but we both pulled off into the lot and looked at it. And it was one of those that my initial thing was very much filled with anger. It's like, what in the world were you doing? And as he talked about it, what he was doing was trying to avoid the stoplight, and he'd made a right-hand turn and was going to do a U-turn and then do another right-hand turn because he was late for work. And he thought that, but he didn't realize that I was there beside him in this other lane. So obviously, he was in the wrong. I, in the world's view, had every right to be angry. But for some reason, and I don't always do that, I'm not perfect, but for some reason, I really did practice this idea of being calm. It wasn't a big deal. And we talked about it. He says, you take care of yours, I'll take care of mine. We'll just both pay more attention from here on out. And it left peacefully, nothing. I mean, it could have been a situation that was really very minor that could have escalated very quickly. But he was more important than his car. He was more important than my truck. And small chaos. But sometimes it's those little points of chaos that just add up in our week to the point that we tend to lash out at people that really don't deserve it. So So my prayer this morning as I conclude this message is that you look back on how you've handled chaos in the past and use it as a lesson for how God wants you to be calm in the midst of whatever chaos that He brings to you. Not that He brings to you, but it crosses your path. Sometimes He does mess with your life. And that's typically the lesson part, because there's something you need to learn, and that's the only way you're going to learn it. But what will you do when chaos strikes? Will you be calm? Asleep in the boat, so to speak? Or will you be filled with anxiety and frightened? I think if we take the approach Jesus took, we can learn to be calm and learn to do what's right. Would you stand as we pray? Father, I thank You that You are a God that understands fully the chaos that we go through in life. You know the causes. You know not just the people involved, but You even know the spiritual warfare that goes on that we can't even see. And so, Father, as we approach a new week, we know there'll be trouble. Some of it is trouble that's of our doing. Some of it's trouble that others do. Some of it's just the trouble of living in a life that's a world that's impacted by sin. Father, whatever source that the chaos comes from, help us to be calm. Help us to address it appropriately. May we not let the circumstances of life destroy our compassion for people. May we not let the circumstances of life fill us with pride to where we take over the authority that's meant to be Yours. Do not let the circumstances of life blind us to the lessons that You want to teach us. And Father, please help us not to let the circumstances of life rob us from the moments that You want us to spend with You. Father, may we apply Your word not just when we gather together, but when we interact with our neighbors, our co-workers, the people in the marketplace, the strangers on the roadways that pass by us. May we represent Jesus well. And may the calmness that we have in the midst of chaos of life give us many opportunities to share Jesus with people who need and want the calmness that only You can bring. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.